Welcome to worship here at Kemne Kirk, to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online via our streaming service, on our catch-up service. We're so glad to have each and every one of you join us for worship on this Sunday, this first Sunday in Advent. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time. First of all, a reminder that next Sunday, the 4th of December, can you believe that next Sunday is December? Goodness me. So next Sunday, the 4th of December, as I mentioned in Sundays past, there'll be a concert of choral evensong at St. Anne's Scottish Episcopal, and this is performed by the choir of St. Andrew's Cathedral Church in Aberdeen and under the direction of Professor Andrew Morrison. And this event will be at 4 p.m. next Sunday, and everyone is welcome, free admission, and there's even refreshments. So come along and enjoy what is, to be sure, a time of wonderful and worshipful music together. Also on the 4th of December, next Sunday here in Kemne Church, we'll have our gift service. And any gifts that can be donated, they need to be unwrapped in new or near new condition. And gifts, if you don't bring them to the gift service, that's okay. They can also be dropped off at Loaves and Fishes until the 9th of December during opening hours. Is that right, Suzanne? Okay. And your generosity for our family center, for those who are in need, especially in times like this, is very much appreciated. I've also been asked to intimate that after worship today, there'll be a time of gathered prayer here in the church. And everyone is welcome to join for this. And David, where's David at? Yeah, he's in the back. Is it going to be meeting over here in the side of the church? Over here at the side of the church for a time of gathered prayer as sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. So please join for that if you feel led to do so. And now I would invite Suzanne Bunton forward to share another intimation. Suzanne.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I was at the Community Council meeting on Thursday, and we were talking about the community larder. There are more and more people starting to use the larder, maybe not all the time, maybe sort of towards the end of the month where money's a bit tight, and or maybe even like just every now and then, but they are desperately still needing donations. They do have money, but it's they reckon that if they have to fund it from the cash they've got, they won't be open very much longer. So we're going to continue to use the green basket at the back and the one at the Loaves and Fishes to collect any staples, diets. I mean, I've got a big list, and it's things like soup, tea and coffee, long life milk, that kind of thing. If anybody wants to, I can share it with you. I will be putting it on the Loaves and Fishes page that we're still collecting these items for the community larder. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Suzanne. Another good reminder, there are a lot of folk in our community still very much in need. So however we're able to help, let's please lean in and help those in our community who need it. And last but not least, one final intimation from Jim Buchan. Jim.
Right, this is not actually an announcement or intimation from Jim Buchan. It's a message from Leslie and Nell Mackay. Now, in true style of Leslie, I thought I should write a song in order to make this announcement, but that's way beyond my skill set, so unfortunately you'll just have to put up with some words. Nell and Leslie moved house yesterday to Littlewood Court, so this is about that move, and Leslie and Nell would like to express their thanks to everybody who helped them to make that move. Obviously, the family has been involved, and as you can imagine, downscaling a house is a hugely stressful process, and it's been going on for weeks with Jennifer coming up regularly from her house down south and so on. But the outcome is that they did actually finally make the move yesterday. I'm not going to mention any names, but there were a collection of people, including neighbours, friends, close family, and the team came together yesterday with a van in order to make the final move, and also to empty the house at Austin afterwards, because there's some items that they're not taking with them that are going elsewhere. The actual process went really smoothly. There was very little need for coordination. Everybody just seemed to know what they needed to do. And that included some catering at Littlewood Court partway through the day to feed everybody who was actually helping out. So that was absolutely amazing. Jennifer, Leslie and Nell's daughter, she had made a really good list. So it was possible just to follow that list. So it was very easy to know what was to go from the Austin house over to the Littlewood Court flat. Can you imagine that house fitting into two rooms? Real challenge. But they've managed it, and they've managed to do it. The box emptying process, I would imagine, is ongoing. So if you do decide to pay them a visit in the next day or so, don't be surprised if there's the odd box still sitting unemptied. They've had 50 years in that home, in that house. Now, that's a remarkable amount of time to spend together in the same house. They've had their family there, and of course, that's them moving out for the last time yesterday. I think it's probably quite an emotional time for them, but they would be grateful to know that they have friends still around them. So I would encourage you to either give them a phone. Their phone will be activated tomorrow, I believe, and it should be the same phone number, so feel free to give them a ring or even pay them a visit. I won't say the number of their flat, but it's usually on the board at the door if you did try to make a visit. So that's the message, I think, that Leslie wanted me to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And I think we all certainly do wish our dear friends Leslie and Nell every blessing and every good wish as they transition to their new home in Littlewood Court. Let us take a moment of silence now to prepare our minds and our hearts for worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us worship God by singing together our first song, Light of the World.
Thank you. Let's bring our worship to God. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday again when we remember that Christ came into the world, that he came into the world to save us. And you came into the world to save us because of your great love for us, because of your great grace. You knew that we could not rescue ourselves. We could not make ourselves worthy of you in any way. And having had compassion on us, you came down to give us salvation, to restore us to yourself. We thank you for this amazing grace. We thank you for this amazing gift, because we know we do not deserve it in any way whatsoever. It's entirely your initiative, Lord. Forgive us for when we take that for granted and for when we stray from you. Forgive us for when we forget you or when we just go our own ways. Thank you that you restore us. You have compassion on us. But Lord, help us to grow closer to you. We ask that you will fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can worship you and serve you in true love and humility. And thank you, Lord, for the hope that you will return one day and restore all things, making them new, making them perfect. And Lord, that we will see you face to face. And we thank you that we have that hope. Because when we look at the world around us, we look at all the stresses and strains, all the wickedness, all the things that make us worried, we would have no hope without you. But Lord, we do have hope, and we do know that you will come. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, we pray for everybody who does come to you. We pray for those who are grieving. We pray for those who are anxious, those who are unsure, those who are rejoicing. We pray for those who are ill and those going through great change in their life. We pray that you will minister to us all, Lord, and you will minister to us in our particular need, and that we might know your comfort, your love, your support, and that we may glorify you. And Lord, we do commit our worship to you this morning, and that of all the churches in the Benihi Church group, that, Lord, you will bless the ministers and all who are taking part in the services, that throughout this group we will know you and that we will come closer to you and that we'll be able to serve you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Let's just take a moment to admire this Advent wreath, shall we? I'd like to express warm thanks and appreciation to Alice Downey for this year's wreath and for the providing of the stand from Duncan as well. I think this qualifies as a work of art, personally. So can we show our appreciation to Alice and Duncan? I know, I've embarrassed you, Alice, and I'm not sorry. But Advent wreath has so many important parts. It has this greenery, which symbolizes the gift of life. The wreath itself is shaped like a circle, which symbolizes eternity, eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. And of course, the main attraction on the Advent wreath is what? The candles, right? Different traditions within the Christian church sometimes put slightly different meanings on the candles, but there's broad agreement that the first candle is the candle of hope. The second candle is the candle of faith. The third is the candle of joy, and the fourth is the candle of peace. Then, of course, there's the all-important fifth candle. And what does that represent? The answer is always. That represents the birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll light this all-important fifth candle on our watch night service as the clock strikes 12 into Christmas Day, because Jesus is our hope. He is the source of our faith, our joy, and our peace. He is the culmination, the yes of all of God's promises to each of us. So today is the first candle, this candle of hope. Hope is such an important word in Scripture. But we need, I think, to be clear about what it means when the Bible, when it speaks of hope, it's not talking about something that may or may not happen. For example, when we say, I hope it doesn't rain today, and in this country, we never know the answer to that, right? That's something that may or may not happen. But when it comes to what God is doing, the word that we translate as hope in the Bible has a much stronger force to it than, I don't know if it's going to happen. It means instead a sense of confident expectation. That's what the word hope in the Bible means. When the Bible says hope does not disappoint, this confident expectation in what God has done, is doing, and will do in Jesus Christ. So as we reflect on the meaning of hope this morning, as we lean into the season of Advent, may we all have a renewed sense of confident expectation, real biblical hope in God's saving power in our lives, in our community, and in our world. God's hope does not disappoint. So in that spirit of faith, I would invite now Dave and Sarah Earley and their children to come forward if they'd like to light our first candle on the Advent wreath, the candle of hope. I'm afraid health and safety regulations mandate that an adult do this as well. I hope it will light. Here it goes. Okay. Well done. Okay. And now this first Sunday in Advent, we sing the first verse of what is my favorite Advent hymn as we prepare to sing together, O come, Emmanuel. Time, children may be excused for children's time if they so wish.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God bless to us this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. We continue in worship with singing our next hymn of praise, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, You are the true light, shining in the darkness. You are love incarnate, breaking again into our world. As we pause and reflect on your words this morning, may your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon each of us. And in this time, may you draw each of us closer to you, deepening our faith, increasing our hope, and expanding our love. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. Who remembers what I said last week? Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy New Church Year. This first Sunday in Advent, the start of the church's new year. Now, what does the word Advent mean? Anybody know? What does Advent mean? Beginning. That's a good guess. Yeah. That's pretty close to it. It means arrival, appearance, right? Which is a type of beginning. And for us as Christians, Advent is a time of worship and preparation. And each of these four Sundays in Advent, this year, the 27th, the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th, we will successively light one of these four candles. And good job, Dave, it's still burning as well. And each light is meant to be a building reminder that we're drawing closer to what? Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And we know this story so well, don't we? At least we think we do. In years past, pre-COVID, going into the schools around this time to talk about Christmas, I was always amazed and heartened to know how many of the kids in our primary schools would know the basic framework and details of the actual Christmas story. It's permeating into our lives. We know some of the parts of the story so well, at least we think we do. And we're quite comfortable. We even look forward to the usual pageantry of Christmas. And along with this exquisite wreath, of course, I'll step out of the way for one moment. Have this beautiful new tree, and a huge thanks to those who set that up this week. We're used to the decorations, we're used to the candles, the Christmas carols, and we're used to my amazing jokes on watch night before Christmas Eve. All I'll say about that is that the numbers speak for themselves. Thank you very much. Because the church has been sharing this story for over two millennia, though, I think we often regard Advent this time of year like the spiritual equivalent of a warm, fuzzy blanket and warm slippers. Things make us go, ah, this is nice. This is comfortable. I know this. We're getting to the good part. And I won't dispute that. It is the good part. But as we lean into Advent, we need to remember that even though the coming of Jesus was foretold throughout Scripture, and even though it was and is the supreme act of God's grace, the coming of Jesus was also and is also a disruptive and unexpected event. In a very real sense, I think the entirety of the Lord's ministry can be seen as one big act of God's disruptive and unexpected grace. Yes, grace can be disruptive. Grace can be unexpected. And everything that Jesus said and he did, it was meant to wake us out of our stupor and reorient us back again and again to the reality of God's inbreaking kingdom. And this, I think, is a central aspect of Advent. God disrupting our lives in new and unexpected ways. So I have a question. You can answer yes by raising your hand. Who here has ever been at your home minding your own business and then suddenly got a phone call or even a knock on the door from an unexpected guest? Has that ever happened to you before? Yes. Quite a few hands, right? And usually, hopefully, a welcome guest as well, but still unexpected, nevertheless. Ding dong. Oh. And how do we feel in such a moment when we get in? As Kathleen was like this. And that's about right. On one hand, we'd be very glad, maybe even pleased, to see or hear from an unexpected but welcome guest, right? Oh, so lovely to see you. Call me. Right? But maybe we'd also feel a sense of panic as well, right? I have not time to Hoover. Right? As if we only Hoover when guests come over. The bed sheets haven't been washed. Right? I need to get some groceries. And most importantly, here in the UK, I haven't put the kettle on. That one's pretty easy to fix. But it's still an essential aspect of hospitality to have these things ready, right? And an unexpected guest can throw us for a loop sometimes. Now, today's passage from Matthew, speaking of unexpected guests, is not what we might consider part of the usual Advent texts. But it's very much in keeping with Advent as an unexpected and even disruptive event. Today's text reminds us that in the New Testament, there are actually two Advents. Two Advents. You could say that the New Testament is a tale of two Advents. Right? The first Advent is what? Christmas. The birth of? Oh, there we go. What about the second Advent? What's the second Advent? Say it louder, David Bale. The return of Jesus, right? Now, these two Advents are forever joined together. We cannot have one without the other. We cannot understand one without the other. The first Advent is about Christmas, the birth of baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem. But the second Advent is about the return of Jesus, who, according to Scripture and in the words of the Apostles' Creed, will come again to judge the living and the dead. Or to use the older language, which I quite like, the quick and the dead. And today's passage from Matthew's Gospel that Ishbel read for us a few moments ago is today's passage about the first or second Advent? The second Advent. And his return. Now, maybe talking about the return of Jesus fills our minds with all sorts of imagery about street corner preachers wearing placards and screaming about judgment, hellfire, and brimstone. And I hope we can lay such imagery aside and instead pay attention to what Jesus actually says about his second advent. So in verses 36 to 37, the Lord says, but about that day, that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So, Throughout the history of the church, probably because human beings by nature are inquisitive and curious and like to be in control of things, at least I do, many Christians have pored over the biblical texts, texts like Daniel and Isaiah and texts in the New Testament to try and calculate when is he gonna come back, right? But then we have this kind of text in Matthew 24. No one knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels, not the Son, only the Father. And still, many Christians have tried to figure out when is he going to come back. Many of these efforts have used very dubious methods with equally dubious results. And so we need, I think, to accept what the Lord says at face value. No one knows, only the Father knows. It's not about for us as calculating when it's going to happen. It's enough for us to know, I think, that the second advent will happen. It will happen. And then we continue in the text. The Lord's words reinforce the futility of trying to guess, trying to predict. In his teaching, the Lord compares his second advent to the time of Noah, when the floods seemed to come in without warning. And according to Scripture, at that time, the time of Noah, the people were quite comfortable. The culture was quite settled. And they're also very far from God. And apart from Noah and his wider family, at that time, we're told no one was prepared for the hard and swift and sudden reality of God's judgment. So in this passage from Matthew, our Lord is reminding us that his second advent will also come without warning. And so he says, therefore, keep watch. You do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, the Lord says, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, would not have let his house be broken into. So you, too, must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. Now, in my life, I've sometimes found that the spoken word is an insufficient vehicle for conveying the truth of God's word. Sometimes we need another means or another layer of communication to better grasp what Jesus is saying to us through Scripture. He says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour, at a time you do not expect him. So, over the next few minutes, as we reflect on these words of Jesus, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour you do not expect him. Reflect on these words, the meaning of the Lord's first and second advent, as our band shares a special piece of music, and remain seated, as the band shares a special piece of music about the Lord's second advent.
Trim the burning, for the time is drawing nigh.
As Christians, we must not be complacent about our faith. We cannot let ourselves be lulled into a life of lethargy. We are called, we are claimed, we are redeemed by Jesus, and we belong to him fully. And as those who belong to him, we must always be ready for his second advent. This posture of joyful readiness, it needs to shape every part of who we are, how we use our days, how we use our talents, how we use our money, how we treat other people. It all must be done in the light of our Lord's second advent. And this means that we have to have different priorities and a different focus than an unbelieving world around us. This means we have to live with an abiding sense of hope and joy, knowing that whatever darkness we experience, and the darkness is real, but whatever we experience, the day is coming, friends, when pain will be fully healed, when darkness will be fully dispelled, when God will be all in all. So as we reflect on the joy and the meaning of and the power, the celebration of the Lord's first advent, let's keep it connected to the hope of his second. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know he will return. So let's get ready. Let's stay ready. Advent is coming, and will come again. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We live as people of hope, people of confident expectation. So in that spirit of hope, let us continue to worship God through music with singing, "Come, let us return to the Lord."
Return to
our prayer time today, there's a responsive part I'd like us to do. After I say, let us be awake, ready, and prepared, if you could reply with, we do not know the day or the hour. Can we try that? Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. Let's pray. Loving God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we come to you. We come to this place of worship. We come with so many different emotions. We come with awareness that day by day, Christmas is approaching. And for some, this will be a time of great joy. For others, a time of stress, busyness, or even sadness. Lord, however we feel today, help us to find you, to hear you, to know you as the one who has come and who will come again. Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. Lord, we all know how much preparation we need to do before Christmas. We know there'll be cards to write, some presents to buy, food to purchase, invitations to be sent. All this stuff sometimes gets in the way. Help us, Lord, to see that the truth of this season is not related to things and to wealth, but in the call to serve Jesus by serving and loving each other. Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. Lord, in this Advent time and all that we do, keep our eyes and ears open to see you and hear you among us. Help us to find you in the face of friend, stranger, and enemy. Help us to serve as your hands and feet and lips of compassion to those around us who are hurting, who are afraid, homeless, lonely, or overwhelmed. In this season of waiting and preparation, Lord, make us fit to serve you. Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. Loving God, we know we can only be fully prepared for each moment of life if we are fully focused on you. Keep us from distractions, we pray. Help us to find creative ways to learn more about you and to deepen our relationship with you, even through these old familiar stories we hear in Advent. Help us as well to follow your leading in our lives. Make us willing and ready to step away from the familiar, from the comfortable, into new ways of being your disciples, following where you lead as you challenge us to grow closer to you. Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. And in this time, we lift up this world to you. This world, which so many parts of it are hurting, afraid, uncertain. We're enduring the horrors of war and conflict. This world is crying out for redemption. So in this season of Advent, we wait again for your redeeming power. We yearn for the day when your will is fully done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the silence of our hearts now, Lord, we bring before you our prayers and our concerns, and we entrust them to you, presenting them before your glorious throne of grace. Let us be awake, ready and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. And Lord Jesus, as a sign of our faith in you, as a sign of our trust and hope in your coming and your coming again, we now join our voices together in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We close our worship this morning on this first Sunday of Advent with another of my favorite Advent hymns. I have a lot of favorite Advent hymns. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let us be awake, ready, and prepared. We do not know the day or the hour. As we go into this week together, let's keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Let's be ready to follow and to trust and to rejoice. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us, and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore.